Are you an individual that's becoming frustrated and you're becoming tired waiting on God's timing, and you're getting to a place where you're losing trust in it and you're like, man, I'm about to go ahead and make this happen for myself? Then this video is for you. We're going to be talking about three reasons why it's difficult to trust in God's timing. And make sure you stay to the end of this video, because I'm going to show you how you can build trust in the meantime while you're waiting on God's time. Let's get to a lot of points that I have. I'm going to labor a little long today because I want to make sure you guys and gals understand what it means to trust in God's timing and to be able to have hope, knowing that there's benefits and things at work as you're waiting on God's timing. So I have a lot of things that I want to cover, because on that poll on my community page, a lot of you all selected that you guys are struggling when it comes to God's timing and your singleness, and just in every area of a lot of people's lives. But the first thing I want to write here, or that I have written here, is God's timing is perfect. We are not, meaning our timing is not perfect. Make sure I say that again. God's timing is perfect. We are not, meaning our timing is imperfect. What this means is we have to understand and grasp that God is perfect, and everything that stems from God is perfect, even his timing. Since we're imperfect, whatever we want in the time frame that we want it probably have some flaws in it. Our timing is imperfect. We can look back at our lives, even since we were little, the things that we wanted at a particular time. As we got older and mature, we begin to look back at that thing and say, man, I'm so glad I didn't get that. Or on the flip side, some of us actually received something prematurely in our imperfect but perfect timing. And as we look back, like, man, I wish I never even engaged in it. That timing wasn't perfect. So we understand that since God's timing is perfect, I have to trust. First off, the reason why a lot of us do not feel that God's timing is perfect, because we really don't believe that God is perfect. We oftentimes compare God like people. And because people betrayed us, because people rejected us, or because people were too busy for us, God is the same. But my friend, God is perfect. There's no flaw in him. He has your best intentions in mind. He has the best for you in time. And when you begin to realize that he is perfect, then you'll trust that his timing is perfect. And when you begin to look at you, and I begin to look at me, and we begin to realize that, whoa, I am imperfect, that my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, that anything that I want in a particular time, I probably am not ready to actually manage it. Then we'll begin to pause and then get in tune with God's cause so that we can begin to succeed in life. Next point, God's timing is all the time. God's timing is all the time. God has something for you to do now. So many people are waiting for God's timing for their husband, God's timing to meet their wife, God's timing to be married, God's timing for this promotion, God's timing for that viral moment, that God's timing for business success or whatever. But my friend, what are you neglecting now because you're too fixated on the future? So God's timing is all the time. There is something that God wants you to do now. And since all timetables and all seasons are interconnected, the mismanagement of this season will cause you to mismanage the next one. So when you and I begin to realize that God's timing is all the time, then what is God wanting me to do right now? Next point. So many people are waiting on God's timing that they are not maximizing God's time. So many people are waiting on God's timing, a moment of slither in a moment of time when God, quote unquote, comes through, or a season is open to you, a season of promise. Give me 1 second. Etc. To the point to where now it's like, I'm not even really doing nothing right now. It says so many people are waiting on God's timing that they are not maximizing God's time. So God has given you a time frame. Some of you all, your time frame is singleness. Some of you all who are married, your time frame is this season of marriage. And so many times we'll focus so much on God's timing that we're not maximizing this time. Now, it leads me to a verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11, which says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in his time. What I love about that is that this verse is in past tense. It says he has made. God is not making anything new. Everything has already been established from the beginning of time until to eternity. Everything has been established. In time, things seem like it's being made new. But everything has already been made new. Ever since Christ, before this, the Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, everything in this world has already been plugged in. And so he has made everything, everything that he has made. We're not talking about what you have made. We're not talking about what the devil has made. We're not talking about what your friends have made, what your family has made, or what these couples online have made, or what these people have made in business and millions of stuff. We're talking about what he has made. The issue is we're not willing to wait to see what he's made. And then we go out there and try to make things on our own. And then when we make things on our own, now we're leaning on God's mercy. And instead of enjoying and embracing God's grace. See, I want to spend most of my life in God's grace, not in God's mercy. I want to spend more of my time in God's will and not in my thrills. See, I want, because when I begin to do what I want to do, then I got to beg for God's mercy. God, fix this for me. Be merciful to me. Cover this sin, God. Now that you done spent, or we have spent all this time sinning, and now we are this close to getting caught, now we're asking for God's mercy. But when we're in God's will and we're embracing God's will, then God's grace will be sufficient for us to become efficient. He has made everything, meaning the things he has made for you will be beautiful in their time. Right now, make your singleness beautiful in this time. He's made your singleness to be beautiful in this time. He's made your marriage to be beautiful in its time. He's made your business to be beautiful in its time. He has made everything you are desiring beautiful in its time. That's why I maximize my time, because I can't wait to embrace the beauty of the next time. But let me fix that. I'm actually embracing the beauty of the time that I'm in. Because if I can't appreciate the beauty here, I won't be able to appreciate the beauty there. And so when we begin to understand that he has made, meaning everything that he has made for your life has already been beautiful in his time. A flower is beautiful in seed form. A flower is beautiful in every stage. We just think beauty is in the final stage. No, the process is beautiful. The planting is beautiful. The consideration of where one's planted is beautiful. Everything in its particular time is beautiful. Are you embracing, are your eyes able to see the beauty of this time now? That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, because now you can see the beauty in the trial. No, this beautifulness in this trial is going to ensure that I'm beautiful for a while. If I can't be beautiful in the trial, if I can't embrace beauty in this trial, how can I be able to really begin to embrace the beauty and be beautiful for a while? How many people want to be beautiful for a moment? Nobody wants to be beautiful for a moment. Everybody wants something to be beautiful for a time. Breakdown says what book in chapter? Ecclesiastes 3:11. So when we understand that he has made everything beautiful in its time, there is a its time for everything you want to happen. And when you begin to see, hey, am I too distracted anticipating the beauty ahead? Then to the point to where I'm not embracing the beauty in front of my head, then my friend, I'm not going to be able to get ahead. So he has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, let's break down some definitions, and then we're going to get into three things that make people frustrated waiting on God's timing. Let's define what timing is. Timing is the strategic alignment of events or actions to occur at an opportune and appropriate moment. This is just the basic definition of timing. It's the strategic alignment, meaning that things have been strategic. I think some of us, we're forgetting the importance of strategy. That's why I love playing chess. I wasn't a fan of checkers. It's too fast. I don't have to think to play checkers. But when it comes to chess, It's for my best to think three moves ahead. So when I begin to think three moves ahead of my life, then I can understand what's going on in my life now. It says timing is the strategic alignment of events or actions to occur at an opportune or appropriate time. So timing says things happen for a reason and things happen for seasons. Things happen for a reason because of the conjuncting or conjunction seasons that follows it. Meaning this, that when you look at it from God's standpoint, God cares about things that happens at a more opportune and appropriate time for you. God has strategically laid out a lot of events, even the bad ones. I'm not saying God caused the bad ones, but God has strategically aligned the bad ones. God did not start that rape. God did not commence that molestation. God did not commence that abuse. God didn't, but God uses all scraps for his script. And so if you survived it, then you can thrive from it, right? So he uses every event and every action, even all of your sins are strategically aligned. That's what I think about God. My little brain came to some idea of how God had done everything in the beginning. I think God laid out a blank slate called time. And on that blank slate called time, he splattered or allowed to be splattered all the decisions of everyone that will ever live. And he allowed his wisdom to intervene every decision perfectly. He splattered imperfection and allowed his perfecting self, his spirit, to infuse every decision to align in a way that would produce the desired outcome of his. And your life is the same. Wherever you fall on that canvas of his masterful painting, there is this little slither of line of your life that's aligning every event of your life strategically, placing things in periods of time for things that happen for your for you to have for where it's appropriate and it's also beneficial to you. Now, let's define God's timing. God's time refers to the belief that events, outcomes, or interventions occur according to a divine, give me one second. Let's read it again. God's timing refers to the belief that events, outcomes, or interventions occur according to a divine and purposeful schedule. Orchestrated by God, it involves trusting in the wisdom and plan of God for the unfolding of events in one's life. Very key for us to understand this. That's why I call it God's timing 101. We're getting to the basics of God's timing. God's timing refers to the belief that you have to have a belief. You are not going to be able to enjoy God's time for you now and be able to be prepared for God's timing that you desire to have if you don't believe that God's timing is perfect, or if you don't believe that events, outcomes, or interventions occur according to a divine and purposeful schedule orchestrated by God. God has a schedule that he is not moving. God, your delay was already scripted before the movie started. Your denials were already scripted in your script. All your decisions, whether you get it or not, God has already laid within your movies. There's two movies that's being played. And they're flowing at the same time. And sometimes they interlap. There's the movie you're scripting and the movie God already scripted. The movie we script, we are navigating away from God's script, God's plan for us, God's principles, God's will in scripture. We're navigating away from the script. And there are certain times where the scripts interlap, where we repented at 23, found God, and we got aligned with this script. And sometimes we get in our feelings, get in our sins, get in our way, and we get out of script. But either way, when you begin to get into God's script, which is his word of God, and you allow it to be scripted into your life, into your heart, then you begin to see yourself in line with God's script. And when you, the more you get aligned with God's script and he begins, and you begin to see the things move in your life, then you'll begin to have a movie that when people watch, they'll then want to align their movie script with his. But when we begin to navigate away from God's script and begin to navigate whatever, then there's going to be certain things when we stand before judgment that God's going to be like, on this day, this was supposed to happen for you. On this day, I was supposed to bring this person for you. On this day, you were supposed to meet this person. But because you was off script and because you want to move and create your own movie, now all of a sudden, now nobody wants to see the sequel. And so when we begin to understand, hey, man, I have to believe that all my events, outcomes, interventions occur according to a divine and purposeful schedule, that God's schedule is divine and is purposeful and is orchestrated by him. So it behooves us to move us into his movie. It says it involves trusting in the wisdom. God is wiser than us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And plan of God for the unfolding of events in one's life. I've seen this in my own life. I couldn't have scripted my life better than this. Even the moments where I thought it was over, even the suicidal moments, even the moments where I was betrayed and abandoned and rejected, the times where I fell away from God, the moments when I was in pornography and lust, and the moments where I was weeping about my singleness and where my wife had been, all of a sudden a birth of purpose came into me and I began to work on these different books and then that book and then that book. And then that event one Thursday night turned into my wife coming into my life, meeting her for the first time. I couldn't have scripted it. And now even where we for the last 2 years, how God has scripted even the challenges between us having our daughter and then our daughter healthy and whole and all that stuff. Hey, I couldn't have scripted it better. So what I do is I trust and I rest. And this video is to get you to a place where you begin to say, I must cultivate more trust in God because his timing is perfect. I'm preaching already. I got too much to cover to start sweating this early in the video. And I'm 16 minutes in. Let's define what the mean time is. The mean time. Most times we look at the mean time as a mean time. God, you being mean with your time. I'm in the meantime. I'm in the middle of what I'm praying for and what and the promise that you gave me, get the peace as confirmation for. We think the meantime is God being mean with his time. No, it's the meantime is the time to make sure that you're mean, that you're rough, that you're ready to face the warfare and the tribulation that comes with your desired season. But let's define the meantime is the interim period or the time between two events. It refers to the interval during the something during which something occurs or is anticipated, often acting as a transitional phase. Egypt, promised land, wilderness, heaven, earth, heaven, Jesus, right? Not too many of us, we like transitional phases. We love transactional phases. Transitional phases are difficult because not too many transactions are being made. We love transactional seasons where we can be able to get paid for and benefit from and see things happening. And I'm transacting my gifts for your money, or I'm transacting my heart for your heart. We love transactional seasons, but we don't like transitioning seasons. But transitioning seasons are transformational seasons, because if you're not transformed, then you will not be able to perform. And so when we begin to understand the meantime, we got to say, okay, even though you're in this seasonal, single, transitional season, allow this season to make you seasoned, because you need to make sure that you're seasoned enough for a marriage. You don't want your marriage to be bland. You don't want your children to be bland. There's a certain seasoning that a husband provides that a wife cannot provide. There's a certain type of seasoning that a wife provides that a husband can't provide. There's a certain type of seasoning that a father provides that a mother can't provide. There's a type of seasoning that a mother can provide that a father can't, or a father can and a mother can't. There's certain seasonings. And if you are not seasoned through these seasons, then my friend, your marriage, your children, your life will be bland. Even though you think that it's flavorful, there's no flavor there. And so when you and I begin to understand that I have to go through seasons in order for me to be seasoned, so I can have the right type of season to make sure that my marriage is flavorful, that my children are flavorful, that I can preserve them and serve them. That's why the homes are broken up, because there are certain children missing fatherly seasonings. There are certain children missing motherly seasons. And the unfortunate thing is they have two seasonal seasoning containers, but there's no seasoning coming out. There's some kids that got both the mother and the father there. They just got a man and a woman there, but they're not getting the season that they need. What about your wife? Is she getting the season that she needs from you? What about your husband? Is he getting the seasoning that he needs? Because if he don't get the season that he needs, or you don't get the season that you need, it's a result or a reflection that you didn't allow your single season to season you. People always go to the more seasoned individual, the more flavorful individual. So some of us, we got to begin to look at how we navigate these unflavorable or unfavorable situations. Man, this is getting good. Now, the meantime, here's another breakdown definition. The meantime between our desire and God delivering that desire, or between our prayer and his promise coming to fruition, is a significant part of our spiritual journey. It's a period where patience, trust, and faith are tested. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. A trust that has not been tested is a trust that cannot be trusted. A patience that has not been tested is a patient that cannot be trusted. We have to be tested in order for us to prove, not to God, but to prove to whomever we're connecting to, that we can be trusted. It says it is a significant part of our spiritual journey. It's a period where patience, trust, and faith are tested. This interim time allows for growth, refinement, and preparation for what we're asking for. So we ask for what we want, but what we want is asking what it wants from us. If you could really interview your future husband and ask him what he wants, then what he wants is going to be asking from you, and vice versa. We ask God for all these different things, but we're not asking God, are we those different things? See, we want to be completed, but we don't want to compliment. Compliment takes work. Being completed takes work from the other. So if I'm getting into a marriage to be completed, now I'm expecting that individual to do all the work. Now I'm depleted. I'm depleting what I want to be completing me. But if we're not completed and made whole by God before we get into marriages, then we're going to cause people to be drained. We were designed to complement, not to complete or to compete. A lot of marriages are sinking right now, or a lot of relationships are sinking right now, because either one or both of the parties is either trying to compete or trying to complete. That is not what it was designed to do. Marriage was designed for each person to bring their completed selves, their whole selves, to complement each other. I'm not sitting there saying that you're going to be perfect. Completedness doesn't mean perfection. Completedness means that God whole is already been fixed. We're talking about the God whole, because marriage, the marriage is a system, a process that naturally elevates. I am not the same husband that I was 4 years ago. I'm not the same husband I was 4 months ago. So what I'm not saying is that you come into marriage perfect. But what I am saying, you come into marriage perfectly positioned. You and I should endeavor to come into any type of season perfectly positioned, meaning God is my rock, not you. God is my source, not you. And I'm going to serve from his supply. But so many marriages, so many individuals trying to get into a marriage to complete or to compete. We were meant to complement. So this season that we're in, this interim time, the meantime that we think is a meantime, allows for growth, that we have to grow, and for refinement, so that we can be polished and sharp and alert and discerning. And opportunities in preparation for what we're asking for. It's an opportunity for us to align our will with God's timing and purpose, recognizing that his ways and timing are perfect. It is an opportunity. Your singleness is an opportunity. This season of your marriage is an opportunity. This season of your business is an opportunity to align. Embracing the meantime, even though it may feel mean at times, involves a deepening of our relationship with God, surrendering control, and understanding that the process is as crucial as the outcome. The process is as crucial as the outcome. We want the outcome, but we forget that the season that we're in is as is or even more crucial than the outcome. Now, here's a process I wrote here, and I wrote this at the last minute, so I don't know how much I'm going to labor on this. I'm already in it for 25 minutes. But here's the process that aligns with the meantime. Some of us, it starts with prayer. Here's the process. Prayer, peace, preparation, prudence, promise delivered. I'm giving this value right now, even though I have a lot more to cover. I got this from Holy Spirit last minute. The process between prayer delivered and promise delivered can be frustrating. How many of us in the chat are praying for something right now? Put a praying hand up right now. All those watching right now who's like, man, I am praying for something right now. Put a praying hand in the chat. Let's get some community engagement. How many of us right now, we are praying for something, or we have been praying for something for a long period, and we're praying for it? Kiara got her praying hands up. Chris Parker got his praying hands up. Natanya got her praying hands up. So all of us are praying for something. Now, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Ivan's praying. And with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Chris Parker, that's exactly. Pray without ceasing. So we're all praying, either for something or for someone. A lot of us, we deliver our prayers and we expect the prayers to be, Yahara's praying, expecting for the prayer to be delivered immediately. God is not like Amazon Prime. See, when we go to Amazon Prime, we can order something and have it within 2 days. We have been conditioned through convenience that we think that God should be as convenient as society is. Just because society is convenient doesn't mean heaven is as convenient. So when we deliver our prayers, we assume that as we do on Amazon Prime, that we'll get it in a certain time. But God says, I'm just going to send you a confirmation number. And my confirmation number is always the same five letters. P-E-A-C-E. Oh, P-E-A-C-E. Peace. So when you go to Amazon.com and you order something, you get a confirmation number. It's a bunch of numbers. God said, I don't even give you a bunch of numbers. I just give you P-E-A-C-E. I give you peace. And my peace is your confirmation number that I've heard. And the thing is, we think we confuse the peace with God, thinking that he's going to actually bring that peace. P-I-E-C-E. Just because we get a peace doesn't mean that God, that man is your peace for you. Or that woman's the peace for you. He just said, I'm giving you a peace right now, letting you know, trust me, I have a husband for you. Trust me, I have a wife for you. Trust me, that barren womb will open up and your child, you will have children. I'm giving you a peace, letting you know that in my timing, this will be delivered. So prayer leads to peace. Peace should then lead us to prepare. We need to turn our prayer time into preparing time. Some of we got open space in our prayers. We pray so much for things and for situations that we're not taking time to pray in preparation. Then preparation leads to prudence. Before the promise is delivered, the promise is looking to see if you can take care of it. So it's going to look to see, can you go a long period of time without sleeping with someone? Can you go a long period of time in being productive? Can you go a long period of time that proves that you are stewarding, to prove that you are a steward? Things from God will not be delivered to people who have yet to be delivered. God is not going to deliver things when he knows you. He needs to deliver you. God is trying to get you delivered to your deliveries. Most people are asking God to deliver things, but God's trying to deliver you to the things. He wants to deliver that lust out of you. He wants to deliver that pride out of you. All those trauma and wounds from your childhood, he's trying to deliver it out of you so that you will be delivered to your deliverees. We're not waiting for things to be delivered. Those things are waiting for us to be delivered. So, yes, you're praying. But as you pray and receive God's peace, and once you receive God's peace, let that mobilize you to prepare. And let that preparation create in you an individual that's able to steward a season. If you cannot sustain joy in your singleness for 2 years, then you ain't going to be able to last in a marriage for 2 years. I'm not sitting there saying that every day is going to be perfect. You're going to have moments where it gets frustrated, but God's peace will boost you back up to productivity, to preparation. One thing that helped me in my singleness was me being productive in my books. It distracted me from wanting things to be attached to me. It distracted me from girls from a long period of time because I was so immersed in my purpose, immersed on getting somewhere, that as I was in my purpose, next thing I know, I was married. So if you want the promise of God to be delivered, then you're going to allow the promises of God to deliver you. Because most of the things that we're wanting to be delivered to us is actually waiting for us to be delivered. Now, here are three things that make people frustrated waiting on God's timing. Here are three things. Before I get into this, let's get into the chat. I want to make sure I say hey to everybody who's watching me live right now. We got a long list. What's up? See ya. See yourself, family. Good to see you. Natalia says, amen. Natalia says, he's perfect in the waiting. No, you didn't. No matter what, he's perfect. He's perfect in the waiting. Boy, yeah, yo, the chat be preaching. Sometimes you got to go through the chat. You might get a word. Kiera says, morning. Kiera, hey, Kiera, are you the same Kiera in the community? I think you're the same one. Unique, I know Unique's in there. Good morning. And for the community, I'm talking about the singles community. We out there working. It's a working place for singles. And I have a couples community that's a working place for couples. Get in there now. We got ladies in there, gentlemen on the way in there. People tell me they're getting in there pretty soon. Get in there. We got activities, workshop. We working. All this stuff I'm teaching, I'm giving them worksheets. I'm giving them tools. I'm letting them grow in their particular season as far as couples. So the singles community, guys and girls, they're going through a contentment challenge. Right now, we're focusing on contentment from now all the way to the end of February. We're going to be focusing on giving worksheets, giving scriptures, giving tools to help them become more content. The couples is going through a rediscovering phase. I'm having couples going through rediscovering who they're dating, rediscovering who they're married to, and they're going through a rediscovering challenge where every day they're going to find something either newly discovered or rediscovering to rekindle the flames in a relationship. So if that is something that you like, hey, I want to be a part of, Unique, I don't know if people in the community who's in there right now, share what you've been getting for the last day or two. If that's something for you, go to lifework.communities. Hold on, tripping. Hold on. Boy, I said, I'm just going to post it in the chat. I said, I didn't say that thing wrong. It's for those who's watching on YouTube, it's plugged at the top. And for those who are on Facebook, it's coming through right now. Breakdown, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, book and chapter. I get that for you right now. Jesus, hold on. Was slain. Here we go. That verse is Revelation 13:8. And all men worship and dwell in it, whose name was not written in the life of the Lamb that was slain before the... Yeah, something like that. Yes, coach, embracing. That's right. Hallelujah. My single season is beautiful. That's right. Your single season is beautiful now because of how it's making you beautiful for later. Yes, better to be in his grace and will rather than it. That's right. Good morning, family. Let's get to it, Ivan. Let's get to it. Amen for the delays and the casting calls. That's right. Thanks, Kiera. Oh, yeah, okay, got you. Go see y'all helping each other out. Good, 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 good. Kiera says, yes, I'm in the community. The jewels are great. Thank you. Kiera's in the building. Are you? Let's get to work. Get in the community. Find what tier pertains to you and invest in you. Those who invest in themselves, that's why I've placed charging points on those, because those who are willing to invest in themselves, they'll bring the best out of themselves. Sometimes transformation is the transaction. If you don't believe and is willing to put skin in the game and money in the game, then my friend, you ain't gonna get honey from the game. That's real game right there. What's your take on dating a younger? Okay, I'm gonna get to that question. Stay with me. I'm gonna see if I got time to answer that. I have a lot more notes. See, that thing's still growing. I have a lot of notes here. I'm gonna get to it. Stay with me, doctor. All right, three things that make people. God said, answer it now. Doctor says, what's your take on dating a younger man? How can you tell if he's a mature enough? Holy Spirit told me to answer this right now. I don't know if her time is limited. I don't know if she's new. But I want to make sure I'm going to be obedient. Doc says, what's your take on dating younger men? How can you tell if he is mature enough? You can never tell if anyone's mature enough. Only the maturest one in you, who is the Holy Spirit, can tell you who's mature for you. Right. And when you begin to cultivate that relationship with God, then you will begin to funnel things and your decisions through him. Now, what's my take on dating younger man? You get what you pay for. Now, you got to determine what stage of life you in. If you in your 50s, 40s and 30s and he's in his early to mid 20s, then he's going to be a little bit more. He's going to be a little more ambitious. He's going to be a little bit more zealous. And his prefrontal cortex hasn't fully developed yet. Okay, so you get what you pay for. Now, if he's younger by 5 or 10 years and he's 30 or whatever, now my personal opinion, I probably wouldn't advise every woman in your position to date someone that young unless he comes from a solid family and he comes with solid morals and values and the Holy Spirit has given you clearance about Clarence. And if that's the case, then go for it. Age nothing but a number. Hold on. In the right context, age nothing but a number. If it's within God's context, we're talking about 18 and up. Okay. But the wisdom that I want to give you is filter it through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are talking to someone, then look for these few things. Take a look at how he was brought up. How was his family structure? How's his mother? And was his father in his life? And how was his dad? And how is his dad? Look for how he handles you. Look at his eyes and his neck. If he can't control his neck, then he ain't going to control what's next. If he can't control his eyes, he can't take it to the skies, right? Listen to what he's saying. Is it seasoned? Is it sound? Those are some of the things you got to look for to see if he's even qualified for your attention to see. But I'm going to tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit, man. He's really quick. He'll let you know if that person's mature enough for you. So that's my take on that, my sister. Natalia said that was good advice, even in general, for choosing a partner. That's right. You have to be whole, not full of holes. That's right. Breakdown is breaking it down. Let's keep going. Hope that helped, my sister. Three things that make people frustrated waiting on God's timing. Number one is impatience. I'm going to get through this pretty quickly. I've said this multiple times in video. Impatience. Many people struggle with impatience, desiring quick answers or immediate fulfillment of their prayers. Waiting for God's timing can be challenging, especially when faced with uncertainties or difficulties. So many people struggle with impatience because they want quick results. God is not moved by societal norms. God don't care about Amazon Prime and how quickly it's delivered in time. He don't care about how fast things go. There are certain things that have certain timetables, and he's not moved by it because he cares about you being fortified than things being delivered into your life. So is impatience causing you to be frustrated while you're waiting on God's timing because you desire quick answers? Nobody wants to be around somebody that only comes to you for quick things and they're away from your life. Like, God wants you to be comfortable and content in him before he puts you with them or him or her, right? And so quick answers or immediate fulfillment of their prayers ain't going to work all the time. Waiting for God's time, it can be challenging, especially when faced with uncertainties or difficulties. So yes, it may be uncertain. Your singleness or your relational life seems uncertain. Yet it seems like it's uncertain for you to have children. I was there. My wife and I, there was a period where we were uncertain, but God was certain and I was certain. But there was periods where I was like, man, this is difficult, but I got a baby girl who's healthy and whole. So I'm not someone preaching down. I'm preaching with. I've been here in the midst of some of your frustrations. I was single at one point too. Believe it or not, if you watch, go back and watch about 1,000 videos this way. I was single. Yeah, there are going to be some times where it seems uncertain. But now, when I look how God has certained the uncertainties, now I'm certain for the uncertainties. I've lived long enough, walked long enough with God that God has certained my uncertainties. So now when I feel uncertain, I reflect on how he has made that uncertainty certain. Now I'm certain that he'll certain my uncertainties. Holy Spirit has gotten me in a different river on this morning. Lack of clarity. Another frustration is a lack of clarity about when or how God's timing will unfold. People often want a clear roadmap or a specific timeline, and the uncertainty of the meantime can lead to frustration. How many people are there? I was that type of person. My brain, my mind is a gift to me. I am gifted to forecast. My mind is, I can predict outcomes. I can look at a person, look at their, that's why probably makes me a good coach. It makes me good at what I do. Because I can look at a person, boop, 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 boop. Here's a solution. I can read people like a book. But unfortunately, the book of God, I can't read. I can read his Bible, but I can't read him. And there was times where I got frustrated. God, I'm like, God, it should have unfolded by now. I'm 25. It should have been unfolded. I'm 30, God. It should have been unfolded by now. I predicted. I assumed in my predictable abilities that my predictability will ensure that I would have this eventually at by this point. And when it didn't happen at that point, I got mad at God. So I was there, and some of you are there. It's the lack of clarity about when or how God's time will unfold. Let me tell you about these five things. Hold on. Two things that you should always focus on, and three you should not focus on. The who and the what are the only two things out of the who, what, when, where, and how that you should focus on. The who God is, who you are, who the people are around you that you're supposed to steward, what he told you to do last, and what you're supposed to do now. That's the only two things you should focus on. That's the only things that we have the capacity as human beings to manage, the who and the what. We as human beings do not have the capacity to handle the when, the where, and the how. These are the three things that is frustrating billions of people. When is it going to happen? Where is it going to happen? And how is it going to happen? My friend, that is the three main reasons of why we have anxiety. Three main reasons why we're frustrated with God, mad at God, because we want to know when, we want to know where, we want to know how, and God knows the when, the where, and the how is too heavy for the human capacity. The only thing that humans have capacity to do is to handle the what and the who. So things are not going to unfold when we want them to unfold, because God wants to make sure that we're not foldable. Before he unfolds us. Before he unfolds what we want to be unfolded, he unfolds us. Some of us, we've been folded by life, clamped by life. He wants to open us up to make us iron out the wrinkles, make sure that we're wrinkle-free, that we can stand the test of time. So before he unfolds what we want unfolded, he unfolds us. People often want a clear roadmap. No, good luck on that. The word of God will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Every step you take, that's the light that's given for that step or a specific timeline. Some people just want a specific timeline. Okay, God, some of us will be like, if God just tell me 2 years and I can chill. No, because we'll be obsessed with that date. If God told you the specific date that you was going to meet your husband, meet your wife, have your daughter, have your son, business take off, going viral, you will not read your Bible. You will not pray. You will boast online. You black guys, tune in 2 years on January 27, 2025. God told me he's coming through. And what you're going to do, you're going to be telling everybody and having everybody show up. And you're going to bring fools and demons into your life to disrupt it. God hides the dates. Nobody on earth, none of the angels can see his calendar. Because, you know, those demons are searching for certain days. Because if demons knew what day and what timeline God has for you, they would disrupt it. That's why they after your moment. Because if I can hinder you from interconnecting moments, creating momentum, then things won't happen for you. And the uncertainty of the meantime can lead to frustration. Number three, comparison. Comparing one's journey to others can also be a source of frustration. Seeing others seemingly Seemingly is a word. Seemingly will preach. Seemingly. Let me read that again. That's a little oil. That was some oil in that seemingly. I read through seemingly. I almost shouted it. Comparing one's journey to others can also be a source of frustration. Seeing others seemingly receive their blessings or answers faster may lead to questioning why one's own prayers are taking longer to be answered. Your life is not their life, and your God might not be their God, my friend. We get too caught up seeing the seemingly. We get so caught up seeing what seems. If you're not in the seams, you don't know what it seems. So stop seeing what seemingly seems, because we get so caught up in what seemingly look like someone's being blessed, and you wasted 3 years comparing your singleness to a marriage that's about to divorce. Comparing your family structure with a family that is dysfunctional. Comparing what seems, that's why get off of Instagram, stop looking at these pages, because these pages are lying. People who post too much about their marriage, I don't trust their marriage. People who post their kids all the time, they need people crazy. Because you don't post what should be private. Now, I'm not saying you can't post at all, but I'm saying when all your posts is all of that, then you don't care about it. And so we're comparing these little date nights and these pictures and whatnot, not knowing that she's getting dented up by her husband, that he's getting cheated on by his wife, that their kids are crazy and dysfunctional. So stop looking at people's curated online life and start curating your offline life. Seeing others seemingly receive their blessings or answers faster may lead to questioning. We begin to question God because we see answers in other people's lives, but we don't even know if God answered that for them. Everybody's wedding looked good, but their marriage be looking trash. People spend more on their wedding than they do preparing the spendings for their marriage. How much do you have saved to spend for your marriage? People got enough to spend to make glamorous weddings, and people ate good, they felt good, they danced for a period of time, and some people got drunk. And now people expecting and thinking that you're drunk and in love, but no, you're not drunk and in love. Now you're seeing that you all got enough love to love. So we pay for the promotion, but we spent all of our money for the season. How many people spent all this money for a wedding for 4 hours and can't last for 4 years? We barely got through your 4 year. We barely got through your 4 hour wedding. And now you ain't even equipped to go get through 4 years of marriage. You got to have a carriage before there's a marriage. Before you get two horses, you got to have a carriage, man. Like you got to say, man, where am I going to carry this thing to? This comparison can be disheartening during the waiting period. Stop comparing and start preparing. Now, reasons why God's timing is perfect. I'm going to go long today. Natanya says, this message is hitting. She says, wow, thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation. He is faithful to us today. Kira says, amen, sir. I thought of a wrinkled shirt that God is ironing. He's ironing our wrinkledness. That's breakthrough for me, getting married soon. Thank you so much for answering my question. God bless you too, my sister. It's an honor. Reasons why God's timing is perfect. Share this video. Make sure you like. Let's get this video. This video is so powerful. Everyone in the world needs to see it. Everywhere, every person that God wants to see it needs to see it. And it could be someone in your family. So share this video. like it. Oh, let's get this video out there. This video is probably one of the most powerful videos I've done in a long time because I'm feeling it. I mean, I feel all my videos, but something special about this. This one might be the one that goes. Reason why God's timing is perfect. Number one, divine alignment. These are the reasons why God's timing is perfect. Divine alignment. God's timing is perfect as it aligns with his greater plan and purpose for your life. Even though we may not fully understand the immediate circumstances, God orchestrates events in a way that aligns with his overarching and perfect plan. God has an overarching and perfect plan. And even though this ain't the plans that you have for you, these plans were the plans God had for you to ensure that you are the person you need to be for the next phase. Divine alignment. God is trying to align. God has already aligned what you're going through that's tough right now. He's aligning it for what he has treasured for you. God's timing is perfect as it aligns with his greater plan. God has a better plan for you. I thought the girl in college was God's best plan, but it wasn't. No knock to her. No knock to what she's going on. Because I'm not sitting here saying she was a bad person, whatever. What I'm saying is I know for a fact that wasn't God's plan. And there was a point where I was like, man, God, you out of plans. When that thing did pan out, I thought God's plans was out. And then I realized when I met my wife, God's plans was planning. So we got to begin to realize, hey, man, he has a greater plan and purpose for your life better than you. Listen, you couldn't write a script better than God for your life. You couldn't. I couldn't. I can't. Even though we may not fully understand the immediate circumstances, you may not fully understand what you're going through right now. Yes, singleness sucks. Yeah, you're going through a rough patch in your marriage. Yes, nobody knows about your idea, your business, and you're working hard day in, day in, out. And you may not fully understand, but God has orchestrated events in a way that aligns over our plan. Because if God would have made me a millionaire at the moment I wanted to be a millionaire, I would have been a dollarnaire. I would have had just a dollar in my pocket. Now, you have to be it before you be it. You got to be it before you have it. Most of us, we want to have, but we're not willing to be the person we need to be to have it. You have to be a certain type of person to manage what you desire to have. And God has a plan called pruning that prunes out of you things that shouldn't be in you and prepares who you need to be for the thing you want. Because people don't understand how heavy the next level is. I'm telling all the singles people out there right now, marriage is heavy. Marriage is heavy. Heavy. Man, listen to me right now. Listen to me. You're dating her right now, but it's light. She's light in a dating phase. She ain't that heavy. But when you get married, the responsibilities fall on your shoulders. So you got to get your traps right. You got to get out of traps and get your traps right and get with God and he'll get you to strengthen your shoulders to shoulder what it means to be a man that you got to carry the cares of your wife and the uncertainties about the future. And you got to be a leader, man. It comes more than just having sex. It comes with more than just having a pretty young thing on your arm. It's more than that. And ladies, listen to me. Marriage is heavy. Do you know what that man comes home with? Do you know how heavy it is to be the head of a house and you got to make sure that you can be a place where that the head of the house can lay his head on his spouse and rest his head and get rest? You know how heavy it gets sometimes, or how heavy, fellas, do you understand how heavy a wife can be with her cares and concerns with body image after having a baby? Do you know how heavy it is when a wife is dealing and struggling with her own frustrations and peers and families getting in the way and all this kind of stuff? It's heavy. So that's why God said, man, let me align. Let me orchestrate. Let me get you straight to match what I've orchestrated. And so you'll understand, man, that you'll be able to handle the weight. It's heavy over here. But it's not bad, but it's heavy. And if you're not strong enough to carry it, people don't break marriage. Marriage breaks people because marriage has a weight. That's for somebody out there, giving them a reason to wait. And get their weight up. Number two, reasons why God's time is perfect: wisdom and discernment. My brother's in the building. First, I got to give respect to my brother. Hey, family, how you doing, my brother? Jeremy, my brother said, "If they only knew." That's right, heavy, but not bad at all. We're just warning you. I enjoy being married. It is by far the second most blessing thing I had in my life. Jesus is the most blessed thing. His spirit is the most blessed thing. And next is a family. I wouldn't trade my family in the world, but I'm letting you know, you better get ready because it's heavy. There ain't gonna always be sunshine and rainbows. You know what I'm saying? We trying to tell you it's heavy, but not. Thank you, my brother, but not bad at all. We love it. Yeah, we love it over here. But you got to be prepared in order to actually know how to love it and how to receive love from it. Now, wisdom and discernment. God's timing is accompanied, partnered with, brought to you by divine wisdom and discernment. He knows the ideal moment for his blessing. Key word, his blessing. His blessing is not always about you being blessed. His blessing is for you to be a blessing. My wife, I'm not blessed to have a wife. My wife is a blessing. She's not blessed with me as a husband, even though that's true. But the blessed stops if I'm not a blessing. It's his blessing. His blessing is for his blessing to be a blessing. Yes, and one of the byproducts of you being a blessing is you being blessed, okay? God blesses us to be a blessing, and in the byproduct of us being a blessing, we're blessed. The blessedness is in being a blessing. What blesses me and Jeremy to be husbands and fathers is that we're a blessing. Seeing your daughter and your kids smile, seeing your wife smile. See, my wife said I was hot yesterday. I said, oh, I'm still hot. She said, basically, we were talking about people we previously dated and stuff and how long. Trick question. How's she going to trick question me talking about how long did you date your exes? I said, question came out of left field. I said, man, what? So, you know, I had to be quick on my toes. I said, how long have I been, did I date them girls? Anyway, we started talking about that. And then she was like, she dated guys, but she always knew she wanted my type. We were just having a conversation. And then she was like, you know what? I married you and you still hot to me. I said, girl, keep playing. I'm about to be a blessing. Wisdom of God's timing is accompanied by divine wisdom and discernment. Get back into the word, John. He knows the ideal moment for his blessing. He knows the ideal moment. Not our ideal moment. He has an ideal moment, right? He knows the ideal moment for his blessings, guidance, and intervention in life. So he has an ideal moment. It may not be our ideal moment, but it's his ideal moment. Trusting in his timing allows us to receive his gifts in the most impactful and beneficial way. Let me read it again. Trusting in his timing allows us to receive his gifts in the most impactful. God cares about impact. He don't care about impressing. If God cared about impressing, then that means God is insecure. People who always try to impress are people who are insecure. God ain't in the business of being impressed. If he was, he'll show his face every now and then in the eastern sky. Hey, y'all, I'm still God. Woo, woo. As if he needed to impress you. No, he wants to impact. He wants to change. He don't care about how you feel about him, what you think about him. He cares about impacting. It also says his timing allows us to receive his gift in the most impactful and beneficial way. He knows the more beneficial way for you. Millions wasn't going to benefit me then, and it may not benefit me now. So I got to become a benefit for the benefits. Do we benefit the benefits? All of us, we want to be beneficiaries. We want to benefit from the benefits, but are we a benefit to the benefits? So a wife is a benefit. She comes with benefits, but do we meet the requirements to benefit from the benefits? Nobody gets a job without the job looking over a resume. And a resume is to see if this should resume. So you came into my establishment, gave me a resume for a job that you want to hold in my company. But before I allow you to get my benefit, the benefits of my company, whether it's dental, vision, or med, or whatever the doctor stuff is, right? Before you get that, I got to see, do you meet the requirements of the job description? And you know what determines if you meet the requirements of a job description? Your resume. And if your resume is not clean and prestige and able to connect what you want to see, then my friend, we can't go forward. But you know what? We're not smart enough to interview. Why? Because we don't have the most interview. The Holy Spirit has the most interview. That's why I let him do the interviewing. Because he already knows what has already been inside or is inside the individual. So many people are trying to get benefits, have no resume, have no evidence to match the requirement. And that's what happens. A lot of women are giving men access to their benefits and they haven't read God's requirements on what it means to steward a woman's mind, body, and heart and soul. And vice versa. You want the benefits of his money, benefits of his provision, but you don't provide nothing but a body. You don't know a body can only do but so much. What does your mind offer? What does your heart offer? What does your hands offer? What skills do you have? And God is saying, you want access to my benefits. The thing about, one thing I love about God is that we have access to his benefits, not because we met his requirements, but because his son did. But if we want the benefits that comes with seasonal things, benefits that comes with blessings, we got to be a benefit to the benefits. So I'm not talking about that we have to meet what Jesus did to get the Father's benefits, which is salvation, etc. But what I am saying, if you want the triune God to provide for you in a certain kind of way, he's going to ask, are you a benefit to the benefits? Because why would he give you the benefits of something if you're going to only put the benefits in fits? Get it frustrated. That's why I tell people, man, a man of God is not going to marry a woman who's not a woman of God and vice versa. People who are fit are not going to want to marry somebody who's not fit, because your unfittedness is going to make them or become a liability to their fitted process. So are you a benefit to the benefits? Man, I'm telling you, trusting in his timing allows us to receive his gifts in the most impactful and beneficial way. I got to keep going. I'm already going an hour. Preparation and growth. God's perfect timing often involves a period of preparation and personal growth. He uses the waiting period or the meantime to refine and equip us for the blessings or challenges ahead. Trusting in his timing allows us to embrace the transformative process that occurs during preparation. Number four, synchronize divine appointments. God's timing orchestrates divine appointments and connections. People, opportunities, and circumstances come together at the precise moment to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. Trusting in his timing enables us to recognize and appreciate these divine encounters that contribute to our journey. So the four benefits, or the four reasons why God's timing is perfect. Number one, divine alignment, wisdom and discernment, preparation and growth, and synchronized divine appointments. Let's keep going. Now, how does trusting in God's timing help us? This is very key, and I'm almost done. Then I'm getting to how to build trust in God's timing now. So I got two more steps to go through. How does trusting in God's timing help us? Again, for those who are joining us, we're talking about God's timing one-on-one. We're talking about what to do in the meantime. We done covered a lot. So make sure you watch this video over and over again so it can be used to renew your mind. Because sometimes what you didn't catch in the first listen, you'll catch in the second or third listen. Because this ain't me talking. As you can see, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And when he's speaking, he drops so many gems, so many rabbit holes, rabbit trails that you may not catch the first time. So how does trusting in God's timing help us? Number one, mental and emotional health. How does trusting in God's timing help us? Number one, mental and emotional health. Trusting in God's timing provides a sense of peace and reduces anxiety. Knowing that there is a higher purpose and plan can alleviate stress associated with uncertainty, fostering mental and emotional well-being. So when you don't trust in God, you will end up not mentally or emotionally well. There was some secular scientist, I don't know if it was on Joe Rogan or some channel, and he was talking about how people who believe in a higher power, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. He said those who believe in a higher power and trust in the universe or whatever, he was secular, was saying that these people have less stress and anxiety. So we're, what I'm talking about is not far-fetched. This is true. Those who really trust that God's timing is perfect, it provides a sense of peace that reduces anxiety. So if you're anxious right now, that area you do not trust in him. You have uncertainty, you have disbelief, or you have impatience. And there's an area in your life that's not anchored in him. So mental and emotional health, number one. Number two, productivity. When individuals trust in God's timing, they are more likely to focus on their present task rather than fixating on the future. This enhances productivity, allowing them to make the most of the current moment without being overwhelmed by impatience or anxiety. So we see that impatience and anxiety are overwhelming. The enemy wants us overwhelmed so we don't overwhelm his satanic systems. When we become who we're supposed to be, we clog the system. When we stand up as men of God and you stand up as women of God, and when you begin to function things, we clog the satanic system. We overwhelm their process. We overwhelm the music industry. We overwhelm his satanic movie industry. We overwhelm the secularism in the business world. We overwhelm it because we're taking over. That's why the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. We were supposed to dominate, not being dominated. We're supposed to dominate systems and clog the systems and cause those systems to be anxious and overwhelmed. But when we are overwhelmed, we can't overwhelm. So being impatient and anxiety, that's right, my brother said, I'm gonna leave dominant because that's a powerful word. We need to see this for a little bit. We have to dominate. Not dominate people, dominate systems. When individuals trust in God's timing, they are more likely to focus on their present task. God has a timing and a task for you now. What have you been overlooking? What are you overlooking because you're overlooking and you're looking at something over there, but you're not looking at something right here. So many people do this. They overlook their kids' need. They overlook their spouse's need. They're overlooking what they need to look over and see for something they desire to have. And then now they're not becoming desirable for what they desire to have. People understand that what we desire is picky. They're picky. Like people who know who they are, people know what they want in life, they're picky. And that's right. They have the right to be picky because they got picked. What I mean by that is that they're legit and they don't want to quit. So they're picky on what they pick. And when you understand that your blessing is picky, then you got to be picky too. And you got to start picking things out of you so that your stuff won't be playing picky boo. So you got to be able to say, hey man, so I can pick at my boo. So you can get to a place where you are able to pick what's good for you. When individuals trust in God's timing, they are more likely to focus on their present task rather than fix it on the future. This enhances productivity. Listen, if I kept peeking and picking and being and looking over there and I didn't get my books done and I didn't start that ministry unplugged, do you know that if I didn't start that ministry unplugged, I probably would have never met my wife? And if I didn't find contentment at the YMCA job, the schools wouldn't have picked me to be in the school systems. What am I saying with those different parts of my life? Is that if I wasn't productive with what I had to do then, which was unplugged, a local Bible study, group coaching, whatever you want to call it, program that I did every Thursday night for 8 to 9 years. If I was not immersed in my purpose, if I was not present in my purpose, if I wasn't productive in my purpose, then my wife I would have never met her. What do you mean by that, Josh? She literally walked into my Bible. That's how I met. I met her within the place of me functioning in my purpose. You have a higher probability of meeting the one in your life. You have the highest probability of meeting the things in your life when you are in the place of functioning at a high level in your purpose. So be productive. God said, man, stop worrying about what I'm cooking and get cooking. Stop worrying about the meals I prepared and eat the meals I prepared. Stop worrying about the meals that I have prepared for you tomorrow. Nobody who has food in front of them doesn't eat by thinking about what they want to eat tomorrow. We get so caught up on thinking about what we want to eat tomorrow when we got the right meal in front of us. So God is saying, what is it that you're overlooking by overlooking? What is that thing that you're overlooking right now that's actually going to make you become the person that thing eventually looks at you? Are you attractive enough for what you're looking for to look at you? I had to become attractive. That woman would have never married me if I didn't match what she was looking for. And if she didn't match what I was looking for, she wouldn't have caught my eye. Could it be that the things that God has for you is within your proximity, but you're not in your place? Is the things looking for you looking at you looking lost? Because the things looking for you are not lost. They looking at you being lost. You know what God has you looking at heaven like this. Man, do you know the promised land was looking at them people walking around that mountain like, fam, I'm over here. The promised land was like, yo, I'm right here. The promised land was not looking for the people in the wilderness. The promised was looking at the people being bewildered. The promised land was like, fam, it only should take 11 days to get to me. Do you know how much our stuff up there in heaven is like, I should have been released by now. So the things looking for us is not lost. We're lost while the things are looking at us looking lost. So what is it that you need to be productive in? Get producing, because if I did not produce what I produced by the grace of God and by me submitting to the will of God, then I would not have met the next chapter of God's will for my life. Spiritual growth number three, trusting in God's timing fosters spiritual growth by encouraging individuals to rely on faith and patience. Trusting in God's timing fosters spiritual growth by encouraging. So God's timing, that spiritual growth encourages us to rely on faith and patience. In tough times, you have to rely on faith. Lean on faith, lean on patience. When you feel impatient, lean on patience. When you feel like you're losing faith, lean on the faith of the past of old, how God was faithful to you. The waiting period becomes an opportunity for deeper spiritual reflection, prayer, and connection with God, contributing to the overall spiritual development. You have to be at a certain spiritual development in order for those spiritual things to be delivered. I'm telling you, God cares about your development. He don't care about your desires. He don't care about them. He cares about them, but he don't care about them in comparison to your development. And when you develop into what you was meant to be developed into, then my friend, it won't be hard for those things to be in your life. Now, how to build trust in God's timing, T-R-U-S-T, real quickly. And I have a worksheet that mycoachjosh.com. I'm gonna start doing these worksheets. Excuse me. So go ahead and get ready, because we're getting to the how-tos. One thing about me, I'm not gonna tell you what to. I'm gonna teach you how to. A lot of church, a lot of priests, they teach you what to do, but then can't teach you how to do it. And so my goal is to teach you how to do it. So right now, go ahead and get the worksheets, mycoachjosh.com/worksheets. I'm going to leave that up there as a reminder for those who's watching later. And this link will be in the description box below. Now, how to build trust in God's timing now. Because before God's timing comes, you got to maximize the meantime. You got to look at God in a different way. God cannot be mean to you if you want to maximize the meantime. Because God is not being mean with this time right now. He's trying to use his time for clean time. This is clean time, not mean time. He's not being mean. He's just trying to clean. How to build trust in God's timing now. T, transparency in prayer. T, transparency in prayer. Openly share your desires, concerns, and impatience with God through prayer. Transparency builds a stronger connection and allows for a deeper understanding of your heart. I go for drives sometimes. Me and God, we spend a lot of time in the car. That's when I'm transparent in prayer. Because I can't be transparent in prayer and allow these transparent prayers to be in the ears of my wife. She don't need to hear these prayers. Because if she hears some of these prayers, she may feel uncertain about where we at. See, that's why, man, you can't just be praying your prayers in the ears of your children or wives, because they're looking at you to be strong. So you got to go to where you get your strength alone and be transparent with God and women too, vice versa. You can't just be transparent. You got to go to your prayer closet, close the door, go to your prayer car, close the door. Because sometimes you got to say, God, I'm tired. God, this sucks. God, it's supposed to be our ventilation. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares on God, for he cares for you. If you don't know that God cares, you won't cast your cares. And many of us, because we don't think God cares, we carry too long. Cares turns to things being carried. And some of us are not strong enough to carry things for long periods of time because we need grace, the grace of God, which is sufficient for us to carry. So openly share your desires, concerns, and impatience with God through prayer. Talk to him. That's a process. Transparency builds a stronger connection. So when you talk to God, when you talk to God, you start hearing your heart. Ooh, my heart sounds toxic. my heart sounds, ooh. You see what I'm saying? So when you talk to God, man, it deepens your understanding of your heart. It ventilates your heart. So your heart can now be at a place where it's able to be conducive to receive. So as you venting out your hot air, now God is bringing his peace in there. Then that peace that you brought into your heart is guarding it. Now you're not setting yourself to be having strokes and heart attacks. You're not setting yourself up to fall apart. You're not setting yourself up to have a mental breakdown. So you have to be transparent in prayer. Number two, recall past faithfulness. If you want to build trust in God's timing now in the meantime, which is the clean time, in the clean time, C-L-I-N-G, clean, recall past faithfulness. Reflect on moments when God's timing proved perfect in your life. Remembering past instances of God's faithfulness can boost confidence in his ability to orchestrate things for the best. So what you got to do is get a sheet of paper and recall his past faithfulness. That's what I do. That's what I've done. I don't do it as much now because I'm in a full state of trust. But I used to do that. I used to teach people that too. Like, recall. Recall. Look back and say, man, oh, man, he has been faithful. You can recall from the last breath you just breathed that God is faithful. What this does is when God's timing proves perfect, and when you recall of that, it says remembering past instances of God's faithfulness can boost confidence. Sometimes we need a boost in his ability to orchestrate things for the best. Number three, you understand his plans. Seek a deeper understanding of God's plan and purpose. Study scripture, meditate on his promises, and align your desires with his will. This understanding brings clarity and reinforces trust. You got to understand his plan is not your plan. You have to understand his plan is perfect. And when that begins to be the thing that renews your mind, my friend, you will maximize the time. Number four, S, surrender control. Release the need for control. Release the need for control. Listen, my friend, we cannot control what God is the only one that can control. I promise you, you will always find your car spinning out of control. You'll always see your life spinning out of control because we have proven time and time again that we cannot control our lives. Release the need. Release the need. Some of us, we have a strong need to control. And you'll never be able to hold when you have a strong need to control. That's why never marry somebody who has a strong need to control. Don't be friends with people that have a strong need to control. Because those people will be manipulative. Those people will try to use you. And what you have to understand, you got to say, hey, if you're that person that needs control, why? Why do you? That's a toxic trait. So you have to surrender your need for control and acknowledge, abandon, weak. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And acknowledge that God's plan surpasses your own. I'm telling you, you cannot out-bless God. Your blessings compared to what God has for you are in a different stratosphere. I'm talking about when you get God's best in a husband or a wife, you get God's best in a house, or you get God's best in a neighborhood, you get God's best as a city, it will be not even close in the comparison. It'd be like Michigan State versus Michigan Institutional College. It's not in the same stratosphere. It'd be like Duke, Carolina, Kentucky playing Mississippi Community College West Side. It's not in the same stratosphere. So you have to surrender that control and realize, man, what I want cannot compare, and it's actually not even close. God, what God has for you is always going to be the best. Surrendering control frees you from anxiety and allows you to embrace the peace that comes with trusting in God. T, time and reflection. I would have fainted. That's my brother. My brother helped me preach right now. Set aside time. Hold on. Time and reflection. Set aside time for reflection and spiritual growth during periods of waiting. Use the waiting time as an opportunity to draw closer to God and deepen your relationship with Him. So how to build trust in God's timing now? Be transparent in prayer. T. R. Recall past faithfulness. U. Understand it. Better understand His plan. S. Surrender control. T. Take time to reflect. Now, let me bring up the worksheet, simple worksheet, but it's going to transform your life. Excuse me. Here's the worksheet. And those who know, my goal is to help you to grow. So here it is. Trusting God's time worksheet it's just simple. We're just going through that with those guidelines together. So patience scale, first thing, patience scale, rate your current level of patience and trusting God's timing on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is extremely impatient and 10 is unwavering patient. I want you to write your scale. I want you to write down the top 5 or 10 things that you've been praying for or wanting in life. And beside each of those, I want you to rank your patience scale. What that shows is going to show you, in light of this word, as you re-listen and re-watch, you'll begin to say, oh, okay, I see why I can't see what I desire to see yet. Let's go through T. Transparency prayer. Reflect on the desires and concerns you've been expressing to God in your prayers. Note areas where you may be holding back or struggling to be transparent. This is where I want you to begin to reflect on your prayer time, or if there's even any prayer time, and begin to say, oh, I need to incorporate more prayer time to vent. 2, recall past faithfulness. List 3 significant moments where God's timing proved perfect in your life. Describe how remembering these instances makes you feel about trusting His timing now. You understand His plan. Identify a specific area of your life where you desire clarity on God's plan. Explore relevant scripture passages and pray for guidance and understanding His purpose. I'm teaching you guys the fundamentals in a lot of these areas, because a lot of people just want to pray and receive. But there's certain things we gotta do. S, surrender control. Examine areas in your life where you struggle to relinquish control to God. Write down practical steps to surrender control in those specific areas. I'll probably do another video on how to do that, because I didn't really get to those. I didn't really put those practical steps in there, but I'll work on that. But work through the rest of those letters. If you know what to do there, do what you need to do there. But if you need a little bit of help there, just skip that or think on that. But I'll try to give you another resource for that. Time and reflection. Schedule intentional moments for self-reflection and spiritual growth during waiting periods. Create a routine that includes prayer, meditation, or studying scripture to deepen your relationship with God. Reassess patience scale. After completing the worksheet, reevaluate your patient level on the scale. Have your reflection actions influence a shift in your approach towards God's timing? Record any changes in your rating. So here's a free worksheet available now on my website. Right there, that's on the video, mycoachjosh.com/worksheets. My worksheets are free, because I want you guys, freely I receive, freely I give. But if you want to grow and have a be given another opportunity for growth, check out my other opportunities for growth that you may have, that you have to invest in, because there's freely I give, freely I receive. The word of God is free. I give it. But when it comes down to coaching, when it comes down to growing and developing, you have to invest in yourself, because sometimes investing in yourself brings the best out of yourself. Because when you live in a free society and you live in a socialistic society where everything has to be freely given, then it weakens the individual. It causes the person not to want to work. It causes the person to sit back and wait. But when you live in a capitalistic society in its purest form, where you have to provide to get, or not provide to get, but where you have to engage in the marketplace, you have to have a good product, whatever, then you actually grow. So people who invest in themselves. So I give free for those who are able, who are not able in the moment to invest in themselves the way they desire to. But for those who say, hey, coach, I want a more expedited, I want to get to a place where my singleness is maximized quicker. I want to get to the place where my marriage is maximized quicker. Or I want to get to a place for those people who need some deep iron sharpening, want to be a part of the masterminds that I have. And you really want to get in that deep expedited where you really grow into a person that can be a holistically whole to holistically hold. And check out my programs. The first thing I want to reveal to you is my communities. Check out my Thriving Solo and Thriving Communities communities on lifeworkcommunities.com. I'll post that link now. On this platform is for those who want to have a space to work on their singleness and to work on their relationships. I'm providing you with resources and tools that I do not provide on YouTube, that I don't always provide in other places, right? So I'm going to post that link there. My brother says, make an investment. You have to. The most important things in my life happened after I made investments. I'm not, trust me, I don't need your money. This ain't about getting money. It's about you getting to the honey, getting to the sweet parts of your life. And sometimes when you make that investment, you're going to show up. When you make that investment, you're going to blow up. You see what I'm saying? You're going to do what you got to do because you know you put some skin in the game. So go to lifeworkcommunities.mn.co. That's our community page. If you want to work on your singleness, if you want to work on your marriage, and then for those who really want to take their life to the next level, I have a synergy circle, my inner circle, mastermind for professionals, entrepreneurs, people who are really ready to take their whole life to the next level, or anybody who's willing to invest at that level where they get, we're going to have in-person stuff. We're going to travel together. We're going to do great things together. We're going to grow together. And we're going to take this kingdom business, this kingdom way of thinking to the next level. If that's something that pertains to you, just simply go to my website, mycoachjosh.com. Go to the coaching tab and that'll be there. What else I was going to say about this community's page? I think I have graphics. I forgot about the graphics. For those who want to know what the investments are, Thriving Solo. For those individuals that want to invest in their singleness, Solo Pursuers is $27 a month. You will get, you hear what I'm saying? Don't worry about what you're getting, because you're going to get the tools, but to look at the transformation you're going to get. Your goal is to take your singleness to the next level and maximize it. So each of those levels have a different price point, and each price point gets you greater access to tools that will expedite your process of growth and et cetera. So check that out. Thriving Together is for those couples who are like, coach, man, I trust in what you have shown through your walk. I see what you're doing with your wife and your family up close or from afar. I'm seeing what you're doing, and I want those tools tangible in my life. I want those skills in my life. Here are the price points there, and that's what you get. So feel free to pause the video, look through that, look through it, and check out those communities there. We already got people in there working. We're working in there. So if you want to invest in yourself to bring the best out of yourself, then here's the best opportunity to do so. Let's make these two the best singles and couples working environments, growing environments. And hey, if you jump into the singles community, hey, man, and then God uses it, this ain't a dating site. It's a working site. But hey, man, if something happens in there, cool. That's what God's doing. All right, now I'm gonna be a hawk in there. So if you out there being crazy, you out of there. That's why you got to put price on stuff, man, because you get free people in there. People start thinking. Anyway, all right, So check out those communities. Check out my coaching programs. My mindset coaching program is now on wait list. We already got people in there. We already working. But this might be the last mindset program I do, and I might just put it into a course. It depends on what the Lord wants me to do, because I have some exciting things coming out next month. But get into my fulfillment program. If you want to be a part of those masterminds and you're ready to take it to the next level and you're like an entrepreneur, you're a business person, you're a person that's a high achiever, high producing person, but you want to make sure that you're doing things God's way in every area. You may be successful financially, but you bad with your family. You might be good in the money. You good, but there's no milk and honey in your family. If that's the case, you need to work. Or you need iron sharpening iron. You need a brother to be in your life to help you process through some things as you navigate your marriage, as you navigate your singles, as you navigate your business and stuff like that. Then check out my fulfillment program. Let's see. No questions. I've been going for an hour and 30. Share this video, man. This video was powerful. It blessed me to preach it to you, to teach it to you. So go download the worksheet. My brother says, all this from a seed plenty years ago called Unplug. I'm telling you, years ago, my brother was there. My brother saw it. He saw when I did all that back in the day. And now look at what God is producing. That's why I've lived the life that God wanted me to live. And I believe God wants to use the life that we live to inspire other people to live the life that God wants them to live. Michelle Miller says, thank you, Josh. As always, you're so welcome, family. Check out those communities. Check out those platforms. My brother talked with me today. He preached with me today. I'm gonna post everything my brother said, man. Put trust in the Lord. He said his brother dropping gems. Impact over impressing. The place of purpose. My brother was preaching today. Developing delight. My brother was preaching. Love you, my brother. We got to catch up soon. Holler at y'all later. Take care.